Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and thank you for another episode of this Suffer Well devotional that we do here every day. And it's we're up to 108 now, 108 of these devotionals we've done, and just so much information for us to grasp. And I think we're ready to hear today's message because it's a tough one for people to hear and understand when we think about our Creator and the way He molds us and shapes us into the people we are. He just doesn't say, here it is, go and be free. No, he works on us, and He releases us when He feels we're ready. And the name of today's devotional is Bound and Released. And we're going to talk about this here because this is important. And we start off with a scripture in Romans 11:32. Romans 11:32, it says, "For Yahweh has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so we could have mercy on everyone." You see, we don't have the same mind as Yahweh, and we don't understand Him. And He's imprisoned everyone in disobedience. But why? Not to take them down, but to lift them up, to teach them, to mold them and shape them, so we can have mercy on everyone, to teach them the right way. Can you imagine a prison system that's going to take people and teach them the right way to live? It's a beautiful thing. So many prisoners have come out of a real prison that have joined some type of a church or assembly within the prison to learn about Yahweh and have come out so much better than this. They've never known about Him. And here Yahweh is saying, I will imprison everyone in their own disobedience out of mercy so I can refine you. And this is what He must do. So we're walking with these shackles and these chains on us, and we can't seem to break them. But when we're somewhat even close to being ready, maybe He'll let us loosen them. But otherwise than that, let's read the devotional and see what it says. It says, "Yes, my child, this is how I left you, shackled and bound. I cannot release you until you fully understand where you are. Only a prisoner truly rejoices in freedom. Only a prisoner understands his limitations. Confess to me. Tell me you understand that you start in prison and move on from there. Tell me that you perceive your complete inability to break the chains on your own at all. And may I remind you that these chains are of your own doing, the works of your own hands, mental grasping, and heart, center of intellect. In order for me to truly set you free, you must see your prison. You must understand that prison was a choice you made and would continually make apart from my mercy. Your heart will only ever confine you. Rejoice, for my mercy has overcome your judgment of death. My mercy removes the shackles. My mercy puts on a new song in your heart. From the pit, the self-reliant thoughts, to the palace, the unity of heavenly thoughts, I will bring you. I will then release you to do my will on the earth. You will operate in obedience, and you will come to love my plan for you." Yes, this is another pattern, an unshackable pattern. You confess your lack. I bring my power and provision. You will never be able to conquer it on your own. On your own, your choice is guilty. It's to gratify self. Yes, just like Adam, you will always disobey. Yes, on your own, you will gratify yourself. Tell me you see the bars that surround you. Tell me you hear the shackles that bind you. Only then can we begin to discuss the work. I have eager expectation for you. Now let's go. So this is where we find ourselves, shackled and bound, waiting for our wonderful Creator to do His work in us, His discipline us, so we can understand who He is. And so many of us sometimes think we're free, but we're not free. The Israelites in the desert for 40 years thought they were free, but they weren't free. They were still bound. Because even though they went out of Egypt, Egypt was still in them. And even if we don't hear those shackles or see those bars, many of us are still imprisoned by our own thoughts and our own actions that are set apart from Yahweh. But that's not what he meant by being set apart. He told us to be set apart from the world and to have the mind of Yeshua and the hope of Yeshua and to follow Yeshua. But we're still partaking in the things of the world and doing it with joy. We're not set free. We want to be set free. Psalms 94:12 says, joyful are those who you discipline, Yahweh, those you teach with your instructions. The instructions of our Creator are found in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Most people that call themselves believers or followers of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, don't even read the instructions, let alone know them and follow them. They are in deeper prison than most people that could ever imagine, because it says in the scriptures to know good and not do it to him, it is sin. If you're not reading the instruction manual, you're not going to understand how to play the game. There's only one way to get released from prison. There's only one way to truly be free. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. You cannot know it if you don't study it. And most people are listening to some pastor or some TV evangelist or someone, and they're not studying the script for themselves, and they don't know how to get free because they think they're okay living in sin. They're taught that the Torah is done away with and the instructions of our Creator are done away with, so they live in their sin, and this is a deception of the enemy. And Yahweh's consistently trying to discipline these people so they get it and they wake up and they learn, and through his grace and his mercy, he gives us time to get it right. But people just want to follow their flesh and follow the worldly ways and deny the instructions of our Creator. For if they would just open up the book and read it and let those scales fall from their eyes, they would realize what sin they're living in. And they are the ones that have the key, but they're not putting it in a lock. They're throwing the key away and they're staying in prison. They feel more comfortable in prison than they do free. That's the problem. Just like a prisoner in real life. They stay in their cell so long that they can't adapt to the real world. So they like staying in their cell. Well, Yahweh says there's a great eternity waiting for us, a much better kingdom waiting for us than we could ever imagine. And it's time to be set free. But we must understand how much we imprison ourselves to truly become set free. And that comes through his discipline if we allow him to discipline us. And then when we're free, we can understand what true freedom is all about. It says in Deuteronomy 8:5, think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, Yahweh, your Elohim, disciplines you for your own good. See, a lot of people don't understand why he puts us through things. We call them trials. Some of us even get upset at him. But we don't understand that he's doing it for our own good, to humble us, so we're not prideful. So we understand it's his hand, not our hand, that's done these things in our lives. We have to understand and believe and trust in him. He is the only one that set us free. It wasn't our works. It wasn't our patience or our passion. No, it was him and him alone. But he teaches us how to act when we're out, in the world. Hebrews 12:5-12 says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words Yahweh spoke to you as children? He said, my child, don't make light of my discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For Yahweh, our Elohim, disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. How many of us can find joy in our trials? That's what suffering well is all about. It says in verse 7, as you endure the divine discipline, that's what I think I'm going to rename this, divine discipline. Remember that Yahweh is treating you to his own children. Whoever heard of a child who never disciplined by his father? If Yahweh doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to discipline of the Father of the spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But Yahweh disciplines us always good for us, so that we might share in the holiness. No discipline is ever enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living of those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, folks, I come on here and I do these devotionals and I seem like a serious, steadfast person without any imperfections, but I have so many imperfections and I'm not as serious in real life as it might seem here on these teachings, you know, but I'm humble enough to know that I have so much work that I need done in me, and I never ever forget the trials and the prisons that Yahweh put me through in my diseases and my mistakes in life. And that's what keeps me going, and that what motivates me to never forget where he's taken me from, but to be humble enough to know I'm not even close to where I still have to go. But I can find grace and mercy because, as Paul said, I know many sinners, but I am the worst of them all. And look what he's done in me. And I find joy, not in just what I've done and what I've accomplished, but I find joy in where I've come from and what I've overcome and what I continue to overcome every day. And that's what he wants us to do. It's not about being perfect. Somebody said to me the other day, Paul, I feel nervous around you because in my eyes, you're perfect. And I say, no, it's not it. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. I'm a child of Yahweh, and his grace and mercy allows me to get another day to get it right. But I never forget what I've overcome and how bad I still am and how much I still need his discipline every day. And so as I'm reminded about these bars that I had to go through, Proverbs 3:11 to 12 says, my son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because Yahweh discipline knows he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Oh, it's so hard sometimes for people to say certain things about me and to me not to just plead my case and to hear people misunderstand who I am. And that's a trial he puts me through, to learn when to speak and to learn when to keep my mouth quiet, to control my tongue, to not make excuses for the things I know I'm guilty of, and to not care too much about what other people think, but to know what Yahweh understands and knows about me. He puts us through these trials consistency. Job 5:17 says, but consider the joy of those corrected by Yahweh. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray this morning that many of us can be humble enough to know that there's so much work left in us to be done. And we are far from perfection. We cannot find joy in others' perfections, but understand the lesson of we're to judge not to tear somebody down, but to lift them up. To lift them up. If I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, and one of my brothers or sisters revealed my truth to help me, hallelujah. But if they're revealed to hurt me, shame on them. Shame on them. Yahweh disciplines those he loves, just as a father disciplines his child. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what it comes down to. The Bible says repentance brings refreshing. And that's when the bars are ready to be released. When we're able to repent for what we've done. That's when we're able to be set free. But we must not run from his discipline, but welcome it. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth the rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastises him. And that's what Yahweh does to us. He chastised us. For who Yahweh loves, he reproves. And he tries to reprove all of us through his discipline. Because he says in his word, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they would live, so they would have life. And he's not just talking about the physical life, but he's also talking about the spiritual life, the eternity that awaits us. A wonderful creator, and all the great things he does for us and the way he loves us is so beautiful. Proverbs 29:15 says, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. And Proverbs 12:1 said, who loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. This is the holy words of scripture that are saying this. Not by our own thoughts, but by his thoughts. How many of us realize we are in a prison and are ready to humble ourselves and repent to be set free? Repentance brings refreshing. We have that key in our hand. When we repent, it allows us to turn it and walk out and be prepared for the world. We must not despise the correction of our wonderful Creator. Psalms 94:12, blessed is the one you discipline, the one you teach your Torah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those people out there that are mistaught and misunderstood, it says in Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up by the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it away. How many of you are grateful today for the rod of discipline that our Creator gives us? And how many of you are ready to extend it to your children, to teach them the way that they should go? It says in Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope. Don't be intent on killing him, because it's the discipline that saves him, that sets him free. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not aspirate your children. Instead, bring them to the training and instruction of Yahweh. Train a child up in the way he should go. Just like Yahweh wants to do that in our lives. And he wants to set us free from the prison. Understand, when Yeshua died for us, that wasn't the end. That was the beginning. When Yeshua died for us, he didn't just say, now go free and keep living the way you've been living. He said, now go and live according to me. And according to these words. And he somehow blessed us with his holy words in the Bible. And he says, here's my will for your life. So now that my son died for you and you are set free, don't go out there living the life you used to live. Now go out there and follow these guidelines and these instructions. Proverbs 103:10-13 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed us from our transgressions. As far as compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father Yahweh. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, because of Yahweh's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion, we never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is the day Yahweh has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Every single morning, they are made new again. That's not to say we can get away with our sin and there's no consequences from the previous day. That's to say we can come to him in repentance every single morning, and he knows if we truly mean it or not. And repent means to turn our minds so our ways will turn. But I tell you this now, the Bible makes it clear that discipline is a good thing. And we are to be disciplined and discipline ourselves and never forget the prison we came out of. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control and everything. However, they do not do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade away. Therefore, do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating in the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I understand what Paul had to go through after the life he lived and what he did and how he was transformed and how he was used and the position he was put in. And the position he was put in and the miraculous things that had to happen in his life for him to gain the understanding of why he was in prison and what truly meant to be free. Proverbs 25:28 says, people who cannot control themselves are like cities without walls to protect them. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit of Yahweh gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Hallelujah. Self-discipline and the repentance that comes along with it. Any type of discipline, whether it is self-discipline, Yahweh's discipline, might seem painful, but it is doing something. It is changing you and changing your heart. That's what it's doing. James 1, 2, and 4 says, "Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Yahweh's discipline is to lead us to repentance. That's what it's for. I'm going to say it again. Yahweh's discipline is to lead us to repentance. Psalms 38, 17, 18 says, "For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever within me. I confess my iniquity, and am troubled by my sin." And then Psalms 32, 1 to 5 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin Yahweh does not count against them, and whose spirit is not deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped, as in the heart of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess you my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." We must remember this, and must remember that he chastens us, and he wants to help us. He wants to bring us to understand repentance. Not everything we do and suffer from is Yahweh's discipline. We must understand that. There are strict consequences to some of our disobedience and some of our sin. Not everything is to correct us. Some of the things are as a result of our not listening. But get it right and understand. Yahweh's discipline is to lead us to repentance. That's what it comes down to. Yahweh's discipline is to lead us to repentance. That's what we have to understand. True repentance is to lead us to regret, godly sorrow, and turning from sin. Counterfeit leads to self-pity and worldly sorrow. We must take joy in this discipline that he gives us and understand what repentance is all about. We must get it. We must understand what the Bible says about this discipline and this repentance. We must not take it for granted, the discipline that he puts us through, and why. It says in the scripture in Luke 15, 4-7, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will be joyful and carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to Yahweh than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away." Luke 5:32 says, "I have not come to call the righteous people, but the sinners to repent." He wants to set us free from jail. That's what he wants us to do. 2 Corinthians 7:8 and 10 says, "For even if I grieved you with my letter, I do not regret it. Even though I did not regret it, since I saw that the letter grieved you, yet only for a while now. Now I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you are grieved as Yahweh willed, so that you didn't experience any loss from us. For godly grief produces a repentance not to be regretted and leading to salvation. But worldly grief produces death." Psalm 54:1 says, "Against you and you alone I have sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." Hallelujah. Hallelujah for his wonderful imprisonment that he puts us through to teach us the way, and his patience. Matthew 7:27-5 says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Yeshua had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took a 30 piece of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. What do we care, they reported. That's your problem. Then Judas threw the silver coins down the temple and went and hanged himself. Out of Yahweh's grace, he gives us and grants us true repentance, not false repentance. Acts 11:18 says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified Yahweh. Then hath Yahweh also given the non-Jewish people, he granted repentance to them into life as well, because they loved him. John 6:44 says, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day I will raise them up, set them free from the prison cell. Correcting the opponents with gentleness, Yahweh may perhaps grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, 2 Timothy 2:25. And Acts 15:31, Yahweh exalted to his right hand the very man as our leader and savior in order to extend repentance and forgiveness to the sins of Israel. Acts 17:30 says, Yahweh looked at people's ignorance about all these things in early times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent for their sins and turn to him. As it says in Mark 1:15, repent of your sins and believe in the good news. And then finally, it says in Acts 3:19, repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh so that your sins may be wiped away. It is repentance that brings refreshing. Repentance that sets us free from that prison cell. Repent, 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 and let Yahweh do his wonderful work for you. And we end off today with 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our wickedness. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening to this message this morning and today. And may Yahweh bless you in your day in your prison cell. And may you never forget the bars that you sat behind. May you never forget the chains that were making sounds that were bound to your feet. And now may you understand what it means to say that we are free. The truth. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. So thank you, everybody. My name is Paul Neeson. This is Torah Life Ministries. You can see more on the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org. And you can also go to the Patreon page to support us at Patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries. Until then, everybody, have a great day, and Yahweh be with you all. Thank you for listening today, and stay strong and faithful, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome back to the Victory is Assured broadcast brought to you by Kurt Owen Ministries. For over 26 years, Kurt Owen has been helping people worldwide learn how to live victoriously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. As a part of this ministry, Kurt Owen has assisted in starting many, many churches throughout the world. This includes a very powerful local church by the name of Real Life Church in Port St. Lucie. For over 10 years, Pastor Terry Owen has been helping people throughout the area learn how to live miraculously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. Every Wednesday and Sunday, Pastor Terry Owen brings a dynamic and powerful message at Real Life Church. Today, we will be continuing to learn from Pastor Terry what the Bible has to say as to how we should deal with this coronavirus.
Okay,